But before we look at Daniel 5, let's ask for God's blessing. Our gracious God, we thank you for the things that we have just sung that remind us of the great sorrows our Saviour went through to give us joy, freedom and hope, forgiveness of sins and new life. Lord, as we look at the life of Daniel and Belshazzar, may we see that there is no hope leaning upon our own strength, our own achievements. But Lord, we are as dust, we are as nothing. But Lord, there is hope, there is forgiveness when we put our trust in you. So Lord, help us now as we look at Daniel chapter 5 together. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What's the best party you have ever been to? I know my kids go to lots of parties, lots of birthday parties, lots of play dates. Maybe the best party you've been to is at school or at university, or maybe you've travelled around the world, as I know many of you have done, and you have experienced a party in your travels. I've personally been to some pretty amazing parties. Guests have included heads of state, CEOs and VIPs. The food was amazing. The wine and the champagne freely flowed. There were live bands. There were string quartets. And one occasion, there was even a hot air balloon. Parties, they're a gathering to celebrate life, power, influence and prestige. The best parties are rarely ever dull. But every good party has to come to an end. What we have in Daniel chapter 5 starts off with a party. By all accounts, it was a pretty amazing party. It's a party held in Babylon, which is the centre of the known world at the time. It is hosted by Belshazzar. Now, Belshazzar is a new character in the book of Daniel. Who is he? Well, it says in verse 11 and 18 that he is the son of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar has been the king that we followed for the first four chapters of Daniel, and he has reigned for 43 years. You'll remember Daniel started off in the second year of his reign. So he's been labouring, been ministering for 43 years to King Nebuchadnezzar, but now he has died. And the kingdom has now been passed on to his son. Belshazzar hasn't worked for the kingdom like his father Nebuchadnezzar, he's partying like he has. There is a great feast with 1,000 lords in front of 1,000 others. It is the picture of extravagance, opulence, decadence and delight. Look how great we are. But the thing that's not apparent here is when this party occurs. This party actually occurs not at the beginning, not at the middle, but actually at the end of Belshazzar's reign. He has been reigning for 23 years. Since he came to the throne, there has been a decline in society, in Babylonian society. And more than that, the nations around him have been rising. Historical records show that the night on which Belshazzar died was after a 2.5 year siege by the Medes and the Persians. So what is missing here, but it's evident at the end of the chapter, is that there was a large army around the city of Babylon. They had been encamped there for 2.5 years to starve them, but Babylon was so great that the city walls were so high that they had acreage, they had land, they had clean water running through. So despite having a foreign army on his doorsteps, Belshazzar saying, let's party. Let's have a grand time. We're safe, we're secure, we are satisfied with life. So much so, in verses 2 to 3, we read of Belshazzar ordering that the cups that were once in God's temple in Jerusalem be brought to him. Let's pour the champagne, let's pour the wine in here, and let's drink and be merry. Why should we be afraid of the Medes and the Persians? Well, we've taken care of Israel. There is nothing now. We'll drink from these cups as is. They're disposable plasticware. And then they praise the gods of gold, silver, bronze, wood and stone. This is a picture in the beginning of Daniel 5, of pride, of arrogance, of self-importance, party without restraint, and we will trample with the things of God like a plaything. You know what's fascinating? There are various opinion polls, reviews that occurred today that say that God's church in the West is in decline. In Western society, religion, the things of God, they're irrelevant, apparently. Attendance is lower, interest is decreasing. And Western society proclaims the world we live in Australia, in Britain, in the US, in other Western nations, that we're advanced, we're evolved, we've progressed. And we're going to party, we're going to celebrate life, and we don't need the church, we don't need religion, we don't need Christ. We'll celebrate our prosperity, our power and our pride. Look at the church. It's once grand buildings. They're turned into apartments, restaurants, bingo halls. Where's the power in the church? But instead of worshipping statues of bronze, silver and gold, our society now worships sexual liberty, personal choice, the environment even. They say, keep pouring the wine, keep pouring the champagne, and let's bring the cups of the church in to make fun of them, to make a mockery of it. Well, in verse 5, in the middle of the party, in the middle of this great event, Belshazzar and his friends see what appears to be the fingers of a human hand. It appears out of nowhere. And starts writing something on a wall. The king is terrified. His colour changes. His limbs are limp and his knees are knocking. You've got to remember, he's surrounded by 1,000 lords behind huge walls. This is the great king Belshazzar. He's scared of some finger painting on the wall. It reminds us, in small part, of the insecurity of the world that we live in. On the outside, they are bold, they are like a loud, like a lion, roaring, seeking whoever they may devour. Their roar is loud. And yet, when there are events and occasions and disasters in the world, when things happen in the world's life that they cannot explain, they can't get a handle on, society trembles. Their knees knock, as it were. Well, Belshazzar gathers all his learned men, calls in the enchanters, the astrologers, in verse 7. Today, when there are disasters and events of national importance, we call in the policy makers. Perhaps we'll call in the scientists, the psychologists, the pollsters. What must we do in this situation? Well, for Belshazzar, and in our day, none of them can answer. When worldly wisdom has been exhausted, they remember Daniel. He's no longer a young boy. And as far as we know, he ruled in Babylon, but maybe he's now in the background. He's a mature man, probably in his 60s. He's an elder statesman. He's experienced. But as you read the passage, it would seem that this is the first time that Belshazzar has interacted with him. It says in verse 13, "You are that Daniel, one of the exiles of Judah, whom the king my father brought from Judah? I've heard of you, that the spirit of the gods is amongst you." Belshazzar has reigned for 23 years, and it would seem that this is the first time he's met Daniel, who was so important in his king's court, in his father's court of advisors. Belshazzar makes him all sorts of promises, of rewards, of acclaim, of fame. But Daniel's not interested. He says, "Keep your rewards and your gifts for another. Yet I will interpret the writing on the wall. But before I do this, before I interpret this painting, as it were, let me remind you of the things that you have forgotten over 2 decades. Read with me in verse 18. O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, kingship and greatness and glory and majesty. And because of the greatness that he gave him, all peoples, nations and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he killed. And whom he would, he kept alive. Whom he would, he raised up, and others he would humble. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened, so that he dealt proudly, he was brought down from his kingly throne, and his glory was taken from him. Your father was driven from among the children of mankind, and his mind was made like that of a beast, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. He was fed grass like an ox, and his body was wet with dew of heaven, until he knew that the Most High God rules the kingdom of mankind and sets over it whom he will. Belshazzar, you have been reigning for 23 years. You have seen your father rule and you have failed to see. You have failed to see it is God that has raised him up to rule over Babylon. It wasn't his greatness, it was God the Most High. And all the peoples, all the nations came to admire your father Nebuchadnezzar. And when it went to his head, when power, when greed, God humbled him. God humbled him. So he lost his mind and he went out into the fields like a wild animal eating grass for 7 seasons. And in verse 22, and you, his son, Belshazzar, you have not humbled your heart, though you knew all of this. But you have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven, and the vessels of his house have been brought in before you. And you and your lords, your wives, your concubines have drunk wine from them, and you've even praised false gods. You have seen all of this, Belshazzar, and you are partying and eating and drinking, delighting in your might. You're even drinking God's holy cups. And you have failed to see that you are worshipping false gods. It is before your very eyes. Now this is the interpretation of the handwriting on the wall. There are three words, Belshazzar. There are three words that you need to take notice of. The first word is mene. Mene simply means numbered. God has numbered the days of your kingdom. God has numbered your days. Just like the children's talk with that hourglass, all of us, as it were, have appointed days in our lives, like grains of sand going through the funnel. Your days, Belshazzar, are numbered. Your father may have felt he could raise up and bring down, he could withhold life or give life, but really he's limited. And you've taken it to another level. You are partying, you are celebrating as if you are God. Well, Belshazzar, your days are numbered. Your time is up. But the second word is tekel, which means to be weighed, to be assessed, evaluated. And you, Belshazzar, as you have been weighed, you have been assessed, you have been found wanting, lacking. There's no substance to you. There's no weight. In today's language, he's saying, Belshazzar, you are a lightweight. You're as of nothing. The third word is perez, or parson, one singular, one's plural, which simply means divided. Your kingdom, everything that you have worked for, is divided. It is to be split between the Medes and the Persians. And at this point, you would imagine that Belshazzar is thinking about that army on the other side of the walls. You see, Belshazzar may not have had Daniel with him for the last 23 years. He may not have been reading his Bible daily. But Daniel says to him, "You know. You know. You've seen it work out in your father's life. You see it all around you. You should have humbled yourself, praying for mercy, giving glory to God. And yet, despite all of this, you have failed to see. And now I have to have a hand there writing in front of you on the wall these three words." Well, in verse 30, that very night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was killed. And Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Chapter 5 started with a party. It ends with a funeral. It's a sad story for Belshazzar. How does this apply to you and me? It doesn't take much to appreciate that for every single person in this room, doesn't matter what country you were born in or when you were born, what your family situation is like, whether you're educated, uneducated, white collar, blue collar, no job. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've come from and where you are headed. Every single person in this room and every person, every one of the 7 billion people on this planet, our days are numbered. Just like Belshazzar, we do not have the capacity to go into the sand pit and add more sand to it. Sure, we can work harder to get more money, but none of us, not one person in this room, can add to the hours or the days of our lives. He is shouting at Belshazzar, but for Belshazzar, it is too late. But God is speaking to each one of us today. Maybe you're thinking, "I've never heard God speak to me. I've never heard an audible voice." But in the same vein as Belshazzar, God is saying, you have had life experiences. You have seen, whether it's your parents or those around you, you have seen God move, raise nations, bring down nations. You've seen it in friends and family. You have seen God move and work. Belshazzar was too proud to see it, too proud to acknowledge it. What about you? When Belshazzar finally did see it, it was too late. But it's not just how God is moving in your life. God is speaking most clearly now through the Bible, through his word. You have more revelation to you now than Belshazzar ever had, because God is speaking to you from the Bible, just reading it, whether it was the psalm we read earlier or any other portion of the Bible. When God speaks, we have a choice to listen and respond or to block our ears and ignore it. Maybe you don't like what I'm saying. There was a time in my life I didn't like hearing this sort of stuff either. But the reality is, we all think we're 6 feet tall and bulletproof. You know, we're going to go through life and do whatever we want. We think about maybe our retirement plan, our superannuation, although if you're in your 20s and 30s, you probably don't think too much about that. But maybe you think about, what am I going to do in 10 years, 5 years? If you're children, what am I going to do when I grow up? Where will I go on my next holiday? We all think about the future, assuming it will come to pass. But nothing's guaranteed. My first close encounter with death was two friends of mine. Not one, but two. In my early 20s. Both very close friends. One was diagnosed with a bone cancer, the other one was diagnosed with a leukemia. And in a matter of months, I saw healthy, vibrant lives wither away to nothing. In my 20s, some of us in this church have been to funerals for toddlers, for two-year-olds, three-year-olds who have drowned in backyard swimming pools. We have been, as a church, praying for a teenage boy on life support at a local hospital. Do not think to yourself that you have all the time in the world to make up your mind about God. That you could keep him at arm's length and say, when I'm ready, when I have time, I will come. I will look, I will explore. I'll be even-handed, I'll be fair-minded. Do not assume you have all the time in the world. God has given you, not just today, this moment, this hour. Because you have no guarantee that as you leave this place, that you will make it home or to wherever you're going. God has given you, God has given me, God has given all of us today, this moment, to humble ourselves before our God. Because if you can see eventually writing on the wall, yes, God is still speaking, but then it is too late. Please do not toy, do not play with religion. Like drinking from the cups, the holy cups. I'll have a little bit of this, I might have a look at that. No, God wants us to acknowledge him in our lives. God doesn't want us to say, look at me, look at us. He wants to say, look at him. Because the thing is, when we die, and we all will die, it's not a matter of if we die, it's we will die. It's not on bathroom scales. No, these are moral scales. Weighing all that we have done. And you know, maybe you know people like this. I've heard people say, you know, I'll just take my chances. I know there's 7 billion on the planet, but I'm on the better half of the equation. You know, I'm one of the better ones. I'll just take my chances with God. I'll explain my situation. Can I say, do not be a fool. Do not kid yourself. My best deeds, my most noble tasks, all that I have done as a father, as a husband, as a son, as a worker, as a minister. If I just take all of those things and bring them before God and say, look at what I have done. Apart from Christ, he says, they're filthy rags. We are coming with our riddled lives before a holy God. When it says weighed, when Belshazzar was weighed and it comes of nothing, you know who's holding the scales? It is a glorious God. And glory means weighty, of substance. Someone not to be messed with. Please do not go away saying, I'll take my chances with that glorious God. We are lightweights, amateur lightweights, coming before an impressive heavyweight Olympic triple crown champion. No debates, no arguments, no CV will impress this glorious and holy and righteous God. Our days are numbered, we will be weighed. The only way we could measure up when our days on earth are ended is to be found in Christ. Because those scales say, you need to be weighty, you need to be of substance, and we're down here. The only thing that lifts us up is being found in Jesus. Because if we stand in our own strength or our own reputation, we will be found wanting. Only Jesus' life was of substance, of worth, of infinite glory. Only Jesus' perfect life merits favor and salvation. The solution for every single person in this room is exactly the same. Whether you've done a little bit of sin or massive amounts of sin, you take your pick. Everyone here acknowledges that they are not perfect. Whether you've done small amounts of sin or huge amounts of sin, it doesn't matter. We all need a saviour from our sin. And the call to us is exactly the same, is to turn from our lives, to turn from our own dependence, to turn to Jesus. Let Daniel 5 challenge us today. If you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Please don't hear me as someone who's angry, upset, and someone who hasn't had enough sleep. I'm pleading with you. Be reconciled to God. Turn to him, because in him there is free and full and gracious and abundant forgiveness. He doesn't turn anyone away. He accepts us, he cleanses us, he washes us. And he takes away those filthy rags and he puts new robes of righteousness on us. And we celebrate in him. Let's close in prayer. Our Father and our God, we confess that we take our lives too seriously and too lightly. We take what we do as if what we are achieving and what we are accomplishing is somehow befitting acknowledgement from you. And yet, Lord, when we think about it, when all is laid bare, what we realize is we are as of nothing, like the grass of the field, like the mist in the morning, there in a moment and gone the next. Lord, teach us to number our days. Teach us to have a heart that reveres and honors and fears you, that loves you, that delights in you. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray especially for those amongst us who have not turned to you yet. Lord, have gracious dealings with them, we pray. From the youngest child, Lord, that has not given their life to you, Lord, we pray, send your Spirit into their lives to rescue them from their sin. To the oldest, Lord, to those who've been in the church for many years, or to those who are new to the church, Lord, speak to them. That when our time comes, we will not be found wanting, but rather we will be found in Christ. We pray and ask all of these things in his precious name. Amen. Let's stand to sing our closing song, In Christ Alone.